I may just again underline again this, the two points that you are mentioning, because I think it is important in today's day, where faith has been misrepresented on TV by TV preachers, that if you have faith, as we have heard, you will be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Just you have to give them your money. And that's all you have to do. Thank God that the Spirit of God recorded to us the second part from in verse 35, that break. Thank God for that. And I would recommend that this TV preacher read also that part, because part of the scripture, that the fact in the wisdom of God, there will be no always in his ways that we will quench the fire. Some got burned to the stick. Some were shut the mouths of lions. Some were eaten by lions. It is the ways of God. Because again, if we see him who is invisible, because that is really the conclusion. It's a promise. It's not the promises. Because the promises could be deliverance sometimes. And it could not be. It could not be deliverance sometimes. So it's important to take that second part of the verse. But this is God's assessment. And that's the second part of verse 38. The world was not worthy of them. You know why they did that to them? Because the world was not worthy of them. God said, you know, you should come out of it because the world is not worthy of you. This is how God assess things. It's always the assessment of God. The world is not worthy of you. We walk here and we try to have the world to think we are worthy of living here on earth. God is saying, the world is not worthy of you. I have better thing for you. And that is the promise. Because then the promise was Christ would come and deliver them from all of these affliction and reign over them, and they will be the center of everything. But they didn't receive that because God have seen a better thing, so they would not be perfected without us. Because God's plan now is greater than that, that the church of God will come in and have that portion also. So their promise is Christ will come, I think, and settle all of their problems, make them the center of the universe, rule over them. They will be the head, not the tail. There will be no suffering. That promise they have not received. They suffer. But that will come later on because all in it. But that's a comforting thing for the believer when you go through difficulties and sicknesses and trials. Let's see him who is invisible. He might give the deliverance, and he might in his divine wisdom choose that we would suffer as these people have suffered. I think maybe you have other things to add.
And that is also very interesting, because the second person in the list is Enoch. And Enoch was a prophet. And the message of Enoch was the promise. We can read this in Jude. I want to read only this verse, Jude 14. He prophesied, behold, the Lord has come amidst his holy, what is it in English, myriads. So that was the message of the prophet of Enoch. So he preached the promise so that the Lord Jesus will come again, his second coming on earth. And so we see that it is like a circle, this chapter. Yes, it ended as it started. And the point is Jesus Christ.
We look to the list of names which was mentioned in the last verses of Hebrews 11. We can divide these names into two categories, two groups. The first group tells us thing about the victory of faith. And the second group speaks to us about the endurance of faith. The victory of faith needs the power of God to fulfill, to achieve this victory. But also, if we look sincerely to the other group, to the people who endured, who suffered for the sake of God and for the sake of faith, they need more power from God. They need more power from God. So God is looking to this group of people with a good looking. There are people which the world not worthy of them, but they are worthy for to be in heaven with God himself. But the same idea is in the first verses of chapter 12 comes in a reverse manner related to the Lord Jesus Christ. When he tried to make attention for the people who wrote to them this epistle, he wrote to them looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He speaks about the endurance of the Lord Jesus Christ before he speaks about his victory, which he achieved in Calvary's cross. So we can look for him all the times, but can we look for a while for the people of faith, which their names mentioned in the whole chapter of Hebrew 11.
Just like to connect that last verse into what the brother ushered us into. There is no question that the promise, as we have heard clearly, relates to the Lord Jesus. And if he has to come with his saints, because in the midst, the saints have to come in perfection. There is a perfection of the saints as well that are attached with the coming of the Lord. And that's why the Apostle Paul would say, but for now, they shall not be made perfect without us. And you'd say to yourself, but they are in heaven. Aren't they perfect? You would think, wow, they are in the presence of the Lord. Aren't they perfect? Well, you know what? You have to take up perfection of manhood from God's mind. God's mind of perfection of man is spirit, soul, and body reunited in perfection. And that's why this word comes in. That if we're going to come with the Lord, because he's going to come supreme, we're going to be with him in perfection. And yet the Apostle Paul would say, but they shall not be made perfect without us. They have to wait until the Lord comes, brings us in rapture, and then bring us with him. So you would say to yourself, we have heard beautiful, wonderful faith of Abraham and great men. And then he brings the Lord Jesus with a new word. Abraham was never the originator of faith. Abel was never the originator of faith. But the Lord Jesus is the originator of faith. But you would say to yourself, well, he just came into the picture, as it were. I mean, he came thousands of years afterward. As far as God is concerned, this is the only man who lived with unwavering confidence in God at all times. That's why he's the originator. That's why when the Apostle Paul spoke about faith in Galatians chapter 20, he puts it this way, that the faith and the life that I live now, I live by what? By the faith of the Son of God. Not the faith that is granted by the Son of God, but there is the faith of the Son of God. And I certainly would say the greatest act of faith, when it will be a reproduction of Christ Jesus, the way he lived here in faith with unwavering confidence in God at all times.